let's see if we can't jump in the business and get a few things out of the way as quickly as we can.
Is this on?
It is on.
Okay.
Starting the meeting, Taylor, could we ask you to offer a word of prayer?
You bet.
Would you do that for us?
Our Father in Heaven, we're indeed very grateful and very blessed to be able to meet in this beautiful spot this morning for this Bear Springs meeting. We're grateful for the opportunity that ours to own a part of this great area and the associations we have with one another and for the friendships that we enjoy. At this time, we ask a special blessing to be with the Board of Directors and that they might be able to attend to the business at hand and that they might keep in mind the best interests of the members of this great association. And we're indeed very grateful for them and for their willingness to serve us and for the time and dedication they put into their positions on the board. Again, we're very grateful for our many blessings in this great land that we live in. We ask you to be with us this time and such as to be with us as we depart, we might be so in peace and safety this day. And we ask this prayer in the name of our Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Tina. We could quickly review the minutes of a meeting that was held 2 or 3 weeks ago. There were some pressing issues, and so the board got together and discussed several items. And so would you like to review those with us, Barbara?
Was held May 26th, Thursday at 7 p.m. at Dale's office. Board members present were Dale, Bill, Shauna, Val, Lee, and Larry. Art was unavailable. And I was also there. Val Cram made a motion, seconded by Lee Deller, that this board meeting was an official board meeting, and any decision made at this meeting would be official. Dale, Val, Lee, Larry, and Shauna voted A, Bill voted nay. Shauna Cox made a motion, seconded by Val, to accept the May 7, 2005 board meeting minutes as written with a few small changes. I wrote those changes in my thing into the minutes and changed them, and then, I mean, into my prior minutes, you know what I mean? So I didn't record them all on here exactly because there's only a couple of things. But anyway, those changes were made in the official copy of the minutes, all in one picture. Shauna made a motion, seconded by Larry, that DSROA pay for the gravel and spreading of that gravel from the Meadow Canyon Road at the top of the airstrip to the new 40,000-gallon water tank. Any gravel needed on the remainder of that road to lot 156 will be paid for by the members along the road. DSROA will provide the grader and operator to spread the gravel, all in favor. And just so everybody knows, the Greens and Kettlers will all agree to that too, and they've all accepted that as a, I mean, that's final and done, and they're accepting it, and they want me to express thanks to you guys for doing that for them, okay? Shauna made a motion, seconded by Phil, that DSR buy the white GMC truck Dale offered at $2,800 and the Polaris ATV that Taylor Button offered for $2,500, all in favor. Larry made a motion, seconded by Lee, to accept the rate for grader and tractor rent as listed in the May 7, 2005 minutes, all in favor. There was then a discussion regarding a newsletter. Dale will give Candy Bose an outline of ideas for the newsletter. Val made a motion to strike the reservation fee and accept Dale's offer of covering the reservation fee. No second. Motion died. Phil made a motion, seconded by Lee, to instigate a cabin rental pool for this season. At the end of 2005, the board should reassess the success of the rental pool and evaluate the reservation fee. The rental pool program should be introduced in the newsletter. Phil, Lee, Larry, Shauna voted A. Dale and Val voted nay. Lee made a motion, seconded by Shauna, to adjourn at 9:45 p.m. All in favor.
Are there any corrections or additions or any comments on the minutes? If not, then the stand approved as read. The first item on today's agenda, and their extra agenda is up here. Some of you want a copy of some of the things that's going to be discussed.
Do you have some more barbecue? There's about four.
She's there.
Yeah,
I don't have the outside.
Now, is Val out here?
Oh, yeah.
Stuck.
There are several items that will probably come up in our discussions today on other items that are not on the agenda that may need to be talked about and addressed. So let's go down through the agenda that was prepared. First item was Art Ortolani, a report on the horse riding program and how it's coming along and how it is it any different from last year or where are we?
I guess we're about the same as we were last year, huh? Nothing's really changed. Did you ever look into possibly sharing that insurance?
What?
Sharing the insurance with one of the other...
We could only do that if he was hired to help us.
Well, no, I meant hiring somebody up here to work for them.
Are you talking about Jeff?
Yeah.
We decided he gave us the rate.
No, I meant the insurance part. Remember he said that there was a possibility that we could work with him?
Only if we hired his guide.
Okay.
Barbara, how's the horse riding activity? Is it heavy, light, daily reservations?
It's been nice that people have been doing reservations. You know, Gladys has been really encouraging that a lot. She usually asks them as soon as they check in if they could possibly make, a lot of times whenever people call me before they come, I'll say, are you going to plan on riding and what days would you like to ride? You know, because it's a lot nicer for me, you know, so I can get up here. Rod Johnson, the new owner on 143, is going to help me a little bit, doing some wrangling and stuff. These guys have been...
He kind of looks like a cowboy.
Yeah. He smells like a horse.
It has been difficult for me living in St. George, and we just barely moved from one home to another in the last couple of weeks, and he's been having to rebuild this new home that we're into. So I've had a real struggle. I've been coming up and back, and just 5 hours on a vehicle round trip. So. But we've been managing, and Kevin and Gladys have done great help.
Yeah, that's almost impossible. I think you've done an amazing job on all the transportation and things you need, and we need to probably find a solution that would be more convenient than that. Rob, where do you live?
I live in Las Vegas.
Oh, down in Vegas. Okay.
Well, that'd take more than 5 hours for a round.
He's a pilot. He's going to fly in.
Yeah, fast horse.
He's going to ride his horse.
Appreciate your help. So are they scheduled 2 days, 3 days, 5 days?
No, they all canceled.
Yeah. Remember, she was in Cabin 4 last night.
Okay, anyway, it varies a lot. I mean, one day I gave, Tuesday I was here from about 10 until about 9, or 7, 8 at night, you know. Just, I don't know, I can't remember how many hours I was on the horse. But,
yeah,
you know, we were
almost 5.5 hours.
On the horse, and that didn't count 7. And, you know, and then I did that a couple days before that, you know, on the Saturdays, most of the Saturdays. It's been really variable, you know, a lot of variable. I don't think I've ever came up over one or two rides, really. Usually,
a pretty good group. So, between your two efforts,
more,
you can kind of push them.
Yeah,
we can schedule them when, you know, because when they come in, I ask, are you interested in horseback rides? A lot of people are saying, no, we have our ATVs, or we'd like to rent ATVs and bring them up, or, you know, so that's a lot of it. Is they're leaning towards the ATVs.
We had 12 ATVs rented at the garden cabin last week.
That came up. They rented them out of town and brought them up.
12?
12
of them.
It was Milo's group. It was
Milo.
Bill
Brock.
Oh, that's right.
Milo's crazy guys. Those
are
really nice, though.
Oh,
yeah,
they're
very
nice.
They did really good. She says crazy.
Well, the Broadbent was here then, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. And White's.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have you been running the horse rides down here?
I have. Did you see you haven't been up there? We put the post in for the corral up at the meadow. You know how we're going to fix that up? These guys couldn't even tamp it. It was such a mess.
Just mush.
It was so mushy. So Taylor's going to go check and see if it's halfway dry enough to even put the wire on it now. But
it's even worse now.
It probably
up to 5 inches of rain.
It rained a lot last night. Yesterday.
Might 2 days in a row.
I don't want to do that, though.
What
are
you
going to
do?
I
just maybe even just dry. Four dry bags around it.
There wasn't as much over there. I had to go by your place to get down.
You know how we talked about having the parking lot on the
other
side of the road,
that way
not so close to the edge of the road, you know? Kevin and Brent and some of these guys have made a parking lot right there so that the people won't be so dangerous when they come around that curve. You know how it is right there? And when the new fence, we've moved it back a few feet and made it square along through there. You'll see if you go up there, it lines up perfectly now instead of having it jawed out into the road. And then the parking, they made a little parking area right over there on the other side in there. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is there's a lot more safety, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot more open when you come down around there.
Yeah, you see it have more.
Okay, and I'd like to talk about that a little bit later on, the Krell, and see what's going on there. I sent item number 2 was a newsletter. If there's any items that some of you think should be put in a newsletter that would be fun for the people to read, I suppose that Bozes would be here today.
They're coming down. I don't know why they're not here yet.
Maybe
they got a lot of mud and rain. They might be having trouble getting.
Oh, they're here on the ranch?
Yeah, they're at their cabin.
They're at their cabin.
Well, we may be able to visit with her. She was going to rough draft some ideas. And was that letter that I wrote conveyed to her?
Yeah.
And so there may be other. Okay, we can delay that just a minute. The third item on here was the discussion of the member cabin rental pool program. I don't know if any board members have summarized that or put together a plan. We ran a rental pool program quite successfully for 3 or 4 years, and then it was terminated. Last meeting, there was some talk about maybe reinstating a rental pool program so that if members are not coming to use their time, Barbara could rent out their space and generate some income to the ranch and income to the lot owner to help defray part of their annual membership fees.
Yes. I talked a little bit back and forth with Barbara on this, and I was hoping that Val was kind of looking for some old stuff because he, you know, had written it up. But for those here, if I can take a minute, I'll just...
Would you please?
Just... morning.
We've been waiting for you.
The idea was that occasionally we have people driving by that stop or say, do you have a cabin? Can we stay here? But we haven't actively put ads out to say, hey, come rent our cabins. They are an asset to us, and so there's some people on one side say, shoot, we ought to be making use of our asset and generate a little money for the ranch. And then there are those that say, we don't care if they're never used other than by members because we like them not to be used to death and just used as, you know, by the members so we can keep them up and keep them nice. And then there are members that some years they know they're not going to be able to make it here to the ranch. They live far away or whatever, and they pay their assessment, and yet they can't use their 2 weeks. In the past, if we've rented cabins, we have a rate, and that money's just gone into the coffers of the ranch. The idea of the rental pool was to help in those members that know they're not going to be able to use their 2 weeks. And so they would put their time into this pool. And then from that pool, when somebody came by, we would rent out the cabins and then share the money between the ranch and credit the member towards his annual assessment on the next year. couple of things as you think more about that come to light. And one idea was, trying to get some specifics, was perhaps, you know, if you're in a timeshare thing and you bank a week, it's a little different situation, so it won't totally apply. But like, you pay $100, you bank a week, and then you can use it within the next 2 years or 3 years or something like that. So we're not banking weeks, but we need, if we want to advertise a little bit for the members, to try to generate some money back for them to help with assessments and some money for the ranch, perhaps a $25 fee to put your time into the pool. And then, and I'm just speaking now, just kind of brainstorming ideas that we've come up with a little bit, and we need some input on this. The $25 would go into a pool where we could perhaps advertise a small amount, either in the, you know, stamp paper or the what. However, there's a radio station out of Page that everybody through this area seems to, you know, you can get it up here at the ranch. Then say of that, say $100 came in. I'm just picking a round number. It'd be more than that, but these people. What's the daily rate that we rent a cabin for?
Depends on which cabin. Are you talking about the first?
Yeah.
$95.
$95 for the first night, and is it the same every day? Okay. Well.
Well, no, not if you do a rate for a week, but on a daily rate.
We have a weekly rate and a daily rate. Well, a lot of people will just rent it for 3 days. But say you have $100. We take $50 and put that back into the rental pool for all those that enter their lots. That would be divided among the numbers of members that put their time into the pool at the end of the season. And then we keep $40 out of that and put it on into the ranch into a cabin maintenance fee. And then we take $10 of that, and we use that for a little more advertising, or whatever we need to promote it just a little bit. So the pro is, well, if everybody put, I mean, if the cabin rental pool was flooded by tremendous amounts of members, you know, it would dilute it quite a bit. But that's okay. A little something's better than nothing. But and then if the con, it would be we would be promoting the usage of the cabins a little bit more, and we would have some of the same problems with people that aren't familiar with the area or how the horses and things are done. So that's another con to it. The pros, though, are we would be generating money to help continue to fix up the cabins independent of our annual assessment, and members would get a little bit back on their weeks that they can't use. So that's kind of the idea. We don't really... Val, I think, was going to try to find how it was... There was some definite written up things in the past, and he wasn't sure if he could find those, and he's not here today, but anyway, I'd like to ask if there's any pros, cons, ideas, or... things that strike you right off?
Can you do like a partial week where I could come up and use the weekend of my week and then come back in 3 days or 90 days or something?
That's possible, yeah. Mm-hmm. On a prorated basis, mm-hmm. So as we divide, I think that would be fine. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Clay, and on that, I'm wondering if the ranch management balance of the summer, for instance, looking at a reservation sheet is quite exciting. To see those who have reserved cabins for June and July, August, and so that information is available. The interesting thing I'd like to see is for Gladys to identify when people move out, to identify how long do people stay at the ranch, and I think that it would require us to really give serious consideration to half-week reservations, which is just what you mentioned. A lot of people would like to do that, and it has pros and cons also.
Yeah.
But it can be done. It's a matter of making a decision and following through on it. But if we had a tick list as to how long do people stay, when are the cabins vacant, could a half-week system be effective, have a lot more economy to it, and so that may be one of the things that the board will want to consider in addition to Phil's report on the program. But what are some of your other comments about that,
Phil? I forgot one thing. One other scenario on this was that, take that $100, you know, and instead of 50 to the members, 40 to the members and 10, well, 40 to the members, 40 to the ranch, 10 for advertising, and that other 10, actually, we would give to the on-site managers as a bonus. It'd be a little incentive for them to rent, but also it adds a little extra time because they have to explain more, have to babysit more, you know, it's a little extra pressure on them. So that was one other way of splitting that up a little bit.
Only thing I can say about half weeks, and we've come up against this, people are not cleaning their cabins. They are. I mean, when you go in there, the floor has not been swept, has not been mopped, the beds, I mean,
people,
you know,
don't know how to make a bed.
They don't know how to make beds.
I agree.
They do not. I mean, they make them upside down. They put the bedspreads on the wrong, you know, the long end over the bed instead of on the bed the right way. So if we had a checklist of what they were supposed to do, that would help. For one, but they have a list and they still don't go by that. I mean, so, and then we've had people that aren't out till 1:30. Yesterday, people brought me laundry and keys at 5:00. You know, so luckily I had gone up and cleaned it, and I had an extra baggage of laundry and stuff to take up there. You know, but the thing is they're not bringing it down. We have no clue if they're out or they're still there.
The reason 5:00 on a Friday is a very difficult time. We've got people coming in on a Friday. You know, you can't check out 5:00 on Friday and expect somebody to get in there, right? You know, when they can check in at 4. But another thing I need to comment on this split week, Dale, is that I can understand. I know there's a lot of people that want split weeks. I mean, obviously, Quinn and you know, all of us would. But guess this. Think about this. If you had split weeks, when would you use it? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 90% of the time it would be used on the weekend. So what it basically equivalents to is that you have 4 weeks now. You have 4 weekends, and the middle of the weeks are empty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it really does create a lot more use on our cabins on the weekend. I mean, there's pros and cons to it. It would give you the most money, but, you know, it would be a lot more tied up with cabins, you know.
And we're going to have to neglect our other work
the weekend is
that is just as equally important as the ranch. If we're having to spend double the time cleaning, that's the only thing I see wrong with it. I can see the importance of going split weeks, but I have to look at.
Yeah, I think personnel. We don't have the personnel. I think we'd have to have additional personnel. On your thing, Gladys, I'd just suggest really hammering in when you check them in.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
That's
and
all you can do.
Still, yeah.
But I think. I think the day and age we live in, people would like to split weeks, either 4 days
bucks.
Or 3 days, and maybe we could say, well, you can split two. You can have 2 weekends.
And then you guys think about this. I've got a whole 300 lots I've got to keep track of on 2 weeks on every lot. So there's 600 lots I've got to keep track of. And Clint, okay, now have you used your weekend yet, or have you used them? I mean, it is going to be a real thought process.
It can be done, but it is a lot more.
You guys say you can only use 3 days on the weekend, and then you have to use the other 4 days in the middle of the week. Is that what you're thinking, Phil? Yeah. You know, I mean,
well, see, I'd say you could use 2 weekends instead of 2 weekends and 2 middle of the week. Maybe,
right.
Well, I don't know. We're overloading. Maybe a combination.
Right.
I
like it.
We're
too lazy to do it.
Get the thing going and see how it's going to operate first.
That's kind of where we're at now, isn't it?
And then you'll put in the split weeks if everything seems to be running smoothly. You know,
well, that's what we're doing,
right,
basically.
You can't have all weekends if you split them.
That's right.
I don't think.
And that's right, Art. You know, you can't really have all weekends, but it's very hard for me to police that and try to remember who used weekends. I mean, you can put down dates, but then you have to. I'll have to come up with some code, W's or D's or something. You know,
first,
you could open up the midweek program. I mean,
right.
Say weekends are pretty much on here, but the midweek maybe you can
Maybe we give an incentive. You get your 2 weeks, but if you'll use, if we can track what's not being used, you know, we're thinking that Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
Tuesday and Wednesday are the light days.
So we can give those away a little more liberally to say, if you're willing to come and use Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays or whatever.
Make some sort of incentive for them.
Yeah, you could do something like that.
But we also need to do something that gives people encouragement or penalty to, you know, we're all part of a big family and we ought to respect that fact to get out when we're supposed to get out.
Well, and it is nice because people are getting better about it, that it's very considerate of people if they say, I'm only going to be here for the weekend, so you don't need to book me from Friday to Friday. And it's nice because there are people that like to come in on Thursday, so they can be here Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know? And so then they can overlap a week and come in on a Thursday whenever I know for sure that the people are not going to be there on Thursday. They didn't book from Friday to Friday because they knew they were leaving on Monday, you know? So they booked from Friday to Monday, leaving that Thursday for the next week open. People are getting very considerate of that, and that helps, but the more we enforce it and the more we talk about it, I think it gets better.
And like we had someone call last night that wasn't going to come in. They were coming in late. And so what I did is I told them I'd leave their key on the board, but please come and check in at the ranch tomorrow so that we could let you know what all the things in the cabin are for, because they're already there, you know, the stuff's in the cabin. So, you know, and they wouldn't know if they didn't check in at the ranch house. And we wouldn't know if they were there or not, other than the key missing, but who knows
who
took the key.
They did get through. They called me.
They did get through, yes.
And I gave them your number.
Know. Yeah, and so I did.
It was on the bulletin board.
To check in at the ranch.
Good move. Good move.
Yeah.
Dale, I don't think I need to make a motion, but I just make the suggestion that we follow up with your suggestion that we very carefully monitor when people come and go this whole season, and that we look favorably towards going to split weeks, but that we assess it after the season, after a careful analysis, and then go for it.
Good. Everybody feel good about monitoring and keeping track of when they come and go?
I'll second that non-motion.
Okay.
All in favor, say aye.
And we make
that. To follow on what Phil just said, the rental pool was enforced for, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 years. There was also a point system that evaluated when people use cabins, when they don't use cabins, when they can delay their use of cabins, things that gave the members much more flexibility. And all that paperwork is down at my office. Val Cram doesn't have it, I don't think. And it's all there that people could look at or understand. Sometimes we choose to reinvent a wheel when it's... there's years of experience already on the thing, and so if the board is interested in developing, sounds to me like may need a whole kind of a new cabin approach, whether it's a half week or whether it's clean up or whether it's move in and move out or where to put the keys. All of those things are fairly simple board decisions if somebody kind of wants to tie them all together have them available, but I think doing what we've said is monitor the use of the cabins this summer and see how that ties in. I think the board is also encouraged to go ahead and rent vacant space for income purposes this summer, and that also will help us evaluate the program, and so it gets you folks as kind of the new people up here acquainted with how it's working and how to, what your recommendations will be. There are some items on the agenda that we might, well, let's talk about, well, that'll come in here in just a minute. Item number 5 on the agenda is we sold the Deer Springs lot 259, and there's going to be several $1,000 come into our budget that we don't have budgeted. And I'd like to open the discussion to some things that might be that money might be used for, or whether it just be kept in a bank account and not touched for a month or two. So if DSROA has an extra $20,000+, does the board have suggestions, or we take suggestions from the audience as to what do you think, how that money should be used?
Yeah.
Yes, Phil.
I'd have a suggestion. You know, we had a couple of unforeseen things like the vehicle problems, and, you know, we've made some expenditures that way. I can't remember some of the other things, but I would say we should take just what money we need to shore up our projected budget, accounting for the expected things, added cost to the water system, I think. I think the water system is a priority. And then not rush out to spend it. But possibly, Barbara, we could have a mid-year budget analysis of what we project, where we're at, and now what monies we have. And once we have that kind of on paper in front of us, we could look at, well, what are our priorities? I think the water system is a priority, and progressing with our roads. I don't know. We do have some unexpected costs. That was it, the cabins, wasn't it? The refrigerator we have to buy.
Did we buy it?
That's like 12. Well, how much was that? $1,200, something like that.
Well, we haven't got the bill for it yet, but it'll be about $1,200.
Yeah. So there's some of those unexpected, real hardcore needs that we've got to cover. And
what we would have done,
we were just cutting back money out of like the roads or the cabin maintenance and stuff.
So either way, it's going
to. So I'd like to keep on track with what we've budgeted if we can, and cover these unexpected items with the monies from this cabin sale. That's my suggestion.
My suggestion is if you all want to know where the money should go out and drive the roads right now. You won't go very far at all, even in a four-wheel drive on most of the roads.
The up Crawford Canyon is really it's not good at all.
I mean, you coming down from your lots up there in 160s, in four-wheel drive, if you're not doing 1 or 2 miles an hour, you go right off the road. It's a time we put money into the roads.
Very far on there, though.
What?
I said that money won't go very far on those roads.
Well, the thing is that when you do, you know, you do a mile, you do a mile, and it's done.
I agree. No, I do.
Okay, somebody has made a suggestion that the lot money be frozen and that the board make the present budget work, and that money be earmarked for something specific. Somebody said, what would really please all of our members? What could we put in a newsletter or make a reality at Deer Springs by using that money for something that all the members would say, wow.
Again, look at your survey over the past 3 or 4 years. Roads is number one.
Yep.
Period.
I'd agree.
Well, where are we going to put 23 tons of hay this year?
Yeah.
Good question.
The barn's not going to hold it.
The barn's got a busted board. I refuse to walk into that barn now because boards are starting to fall off the top of the barn. The whole barn has shifted like 4 inches in the last 2 weeks. It's not safe for me to walk in.
It's not safe.
Let me propose that we right now come up with a consensus on priorities. And
we're going to spend...
Let me put my idea into a motion and see if there's enough support for it. I would move that we...
Before making a motion, I wonder if there's any other input that might...
Well, I won't make a motion on the priority itself.
Okay.
I'm just talking about... My motion would be that we look at our original budget and we not curtail our already budgeted items like we were going to have to because of where we had to spend unexpected money. So let me see if I can put this more succinctly. My motion is that we take the money from lot 259, the sale of 259, and that we make our
replace the money we've robbed.
Replace the money we've had to rob Peter to pay Paul. And then at that point, we look at this priority list that we might come up with now to spend it on. But my motion is basically to shore up the budget to deal with these unexpected things that we've had, and then move forward with the priority list that we generate at this point in time. Does that make sense that time?
Good day.
Mm-hmm. Anybody like to second my motion?
Oh, I'll second that motion.
One discussion on that. Will the horse riding income and the cabin rental income be enough to shore up some of the shortfalls in the budget today?
We projected those incomes and in the budget, and I don't know where we're at on that, Barbara. Do you know? You know, we projected getting so much from cabin reservations,
well,
so much.
We haven't met what we projected yet, but of course, we're only June, you know.
Yeah.
The amount in the budget for horses and cabins was super, super low.
Mm-hmm.
And is it going to be super, super low, or is it going to be substantial?
We haven't met what we had projected yet, but, you know, that's not to say we won't, because it's
Do you have a gut feeling that we're on track towards meeting that? Because I think we estimated fairly, didn't we estimate fairly conservatively?
Yeah, but we did up it, remember, Dale? We went back and raised it a little bit on the cabin rental and the horses the last time when we decided on the second budget. So we went up a little. I would say we're probably online, but I don't know. I mean, how do I know? How can I guess?
But we don't have an overabundance to make up for these other things, do we?
No, we haven't overly been over it. No.
This is the reservation that Dale just pointed out a little bit ago. That's up quite a bit from last year, isn't it?
The what?
Reservation.
Isn't that up quite a bit from last year? No.
Yeah,
last year?
Yeah,
I didn't think you started to.
So in answer to your question, Dale, I don't think we're going to have an excess to help out make up things. I think we're probably status quo.
That's my valve frame up here yet, too.
That's why I feel we need a little help to stay on track so we don't cut out of our road maintenance, so we don't cut out somewhere else. So. Because of the fridge we've had
if we do have extra money from the cabin rentals and the horse things, isn't it a wash? I mean, whether we use it, then we could use it for the big project, or something, you know, or I don't know. I mean, what I'm saying is, why run the risk of running out of money?
Because we're not talking about even using half of the money from...
it won't take very
much. Maybe a fourth of the money from the sale of lot 259 to do what I'm proposing.
From there, go with the priorities that the people want.
The main expense that we've got this year that we didn't count on was that $5,300 for the vehicles. Plus the repairs, the auto repairs have gone away. So we're probably like $7,000 over what we projected, what we expected.
Which is a lot to go for, yeah.
So it's not a huge amount. But I mean,
so around 7,000 out of the, was it 20, what did we sell that lot for, 24
or 26?
26, so.
So we have a
so about a fourth.
So you have around 19,000 more.
Yeah. So that's my proposal, basically, is taking about a fourth of that and shoring up the budget.
It's just shuffling money. If you take $3,000 out of the road budget because of these added expenses and we have $20,000 to put back in, it still comes out the same in the long run.
Yeah.
There's no difference here.
The thing I'm trying to clarify is what we're doing, and then so that when we set these priorities now, whether it's roads or a barn or whatever, we're going to say, okay, we've got $18,000 and this is how we're going to spend it. That's all I'm trying to do is clean the slate, clarify.
Do you want to restate your motion so Lee can hear it?
So my motion is that we take approximately $7,000 to $8,000 in, since we have a figure.
Oh, you're going to add that in the motion now?
Yeah, I'll add it since we've kind of come up with that.
Well, that's a guess, you know. I'm just going on what I can think of from the top of my head.
But we'll say up to $8,000. We take up to $8,000 out of the sale of lot 259. To cover up the unexpected costs that we've incurred and shore up our budget so that we don't cut back on already budgeted items. and that we take the remaining funds, and at this point in time, we now prioritize where we want to spend that money, or if we want to save it, or however we, whatever we want to do with it.
Should we get an accounting as to where we are income-wise and expense-wise, so that it's not kind of floating maybe $8,000, and then have poll the board once we have some of those numbers in front of us and make a better decision on how much is coming in on these other items and what our shortfalls really are, and then make a phone call to everybody.
Not to disagree or anything, I think we know fairly specifically. What did you say on the vehicles? 53,
28 and 25 is 53.
53, and then there was the refrigerator, which is 12.
And then there was
the
refrigerator is sort of in the budget. You know, we knew we were going to buy a refrigerator.
$7,000 is close enough.
But you know, we had the expenses on the vehicles.
At least almost 20 there.
We're already out of diesel fuel. I understand, so I got to get more diesel fuel.
Well, if you want to lower the cap to 7, I don't mind. That sounds like maybe that's more in line.
And I'll second it. Or Larry can.
I think we can. We're moving. We're kind of. It's a motion of principle. Not. We're saying up to the up point.
We can go back next question.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that part of the lot money be allocated to cover some unexpected expense items. All in favor, say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Do any of you here have other ideas or areas of interest or concern? We've talked about roads, obviously. The barn is a concern. One area that I've talked about a little bit and had some concern. If we had spent $25,000 last year on water, on erosion control and reservoirs, we'd have stacks and stacks of water right now, and we didn't, and we don't, and it's all
money. We all talk about it. We're just losing.
Yeah. So you know, $25,000 to come into the budget doesn't make us be able to do everything we'd like to do. You could throw $200,000 extra in the budget, and it'd still be not enough. But at some point in time, with some money and some effort, I'd like to see the ditches and reservoirs all be rebuilt and cleaned up, and then some planting and seeding done for, I mean, you all probably noticed as you drove out today a lot more green stuff growing alongside the roads.
Rabbit brushes really do. I got some rabbit brush eaters.
What?
I'm just kidding about that. That'd be a good idea, though.
We've listed roads. We got barn or another source of storage for our hay. Erosion control, cabins.
Reseeding or
erosion control and reseeding. That's four major items. Is there another item?
Two fields out here look like they could almost be harvested.
Mm-hmm.
And baled. And cut some of our, you know,
cut our expense on buying.
We don't have the machinery, but you can hire people to do that, right?
Yeah.
I think that's something that should be at the top.
So farming is part of this reseeding and
can
farming?
Can I make a comment on that, though? Tell them what this old ryegrass does out here.
cows don't eat it, but nothing else, and it don't do very good.
If it's rotten, you mean if you bale it and hay, yeah.
They don't eat it very good.
Even this stuff
horses
up
won't eat it either.
No.
No.
I mean, this stuff up here would make winter cow
value. That's about all it is. It's not a lot of value, and by the time you go hire somebody to come up here and bale it and put it in our barn.
Yeah, what we have is not crop.
It has no value.
No, it doesn't.
Just graze it off.
And you have to do fertilize. And
if we were, is there a way to turn it around? I mean, if you...
If we planted
it all up and planted
dry land alfalfa, that's different.
But you gotta have. The last few years, we wouldn't have done it.
This year,
right
year
would
have. You know, we tried that the first year we were here. We did plant some stuff, but
so that's a little more risky.
And alfalfa is very expensive seed, so you're.
What about the other Half Moon project? Do you remember that, Barbara?
Yeah, I know.
That was for developing that well. I mean, we have lots of water.
We weren't going to do alfalfa on that. We were just going to do the dry land. You know, uh-huh.
Do you recall at all what the costs on that were?
To get that well up with the solar panel, we had several different options.
Yeah,
using
solar.
Using the gas
be the best
generator
way.
Or the electric as it is right now, and putting a regular generator up there, I mean, and powering it with electric or the windmill or solar, there was a lot of different options.
That's another thing we can put on our Half Moon project. But
Well, I guess it could.
But what Dale is looking for, and I think it's, I think, out of these items, we have roads, barn, erosion control, seeding, cabins, farming, Half Moon.
I like to see a little bit of money spent on Leaf Springs.
Okay, Leaf Springs. So
that's kind of in what we were talking about.
More so even in the windmill up there, I think it actually benefits the ranch a bit more.
Then there's that other project of up by lot 74 and 5. We walked, Barbara and I and Brent, we walked out around there. There's like two or three or four catch basins that were in the time used. And flying over, we found two lost.
Yeah, Dale, there's not one hidden lake.
There's two hidden lake things up off of Meadow Canyon
before.
Up on the side hill we can see
that?
Down in there that have been used.
The
one you were talking
about. We only thought there was one. There's two of them.
There's one on the west, one on the east.
There's two in Slide Canyon. There's three in Broad Hollow. There's
right at the top of at the bottom of Meadow Lake down there below the ponds that you told me about that when we were driving.
Just above the Johnny Brown turnoff.
Right there, one right after the
we're talking about roughly $19,000, $20,000 at the most that we have to divide onto these things if that's what we want to do.
Some of the, just to, not to cut you off, Phil, but some of these things I've talked about with erosion and replanting, that all can be actually done not using any of this money or any of Deer Springs' budget money. There's Utah funds, grant funds, federal funds, wildlife funds, and I'm working with three or four different groups right now. I just have to do it in a way. I kind of have to protect my own personal private interest, and then I have to protect Deer Springs Group, our private property or our private privacy, whatever you want to call it, and try to benefit. We have a lot of government property mixed in with us, and so we can access some of their help, but what's the trade-off? And that's where I'm juggling to say...
I know, and I've met with them, too. I've met with the Soil Conservation, I met with the Forest, I met with the BLM, I met with the Monument people. You know, we met with the Fish and Game. You know, I sat in that meeting for hours with them all, and the whole thing is that, yeah, there's all these monies and stuff, but almost everything requires either a low loan, low interest, very, very low interest loan, mm-hmm. Or it requires matching funds, or it requires matching, you know, matching time from donation of help and labor and stuff, you know. There's a lot of little strings, like you said. It's just not so simple as walk out there and say, hey, guys, we want you to do this, you know. It just doesn't work that way. But I mean, it's possible. It just requires a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of time. So you could do it.
Well, I have gotten approval and commitments to do a lot, but... You know, we're here at Deer Springs, and you guys didn't even know about a couple of these hidden reservoirs. What would it be like if Joe Sportsman knew those reservoirs were there?
Yeah.
So what is that, you know?
Yeah. How long was it before you got... You guys, I need to tell these guys a story. Dale told it to me. How long it took... How did you find out? You saw the cows.
We'd owned the ranch for probably 10 years. And we were bringing a bunch of white Charlet steers from the upper place down... And in below about where Crawford goes, we noticed a bunch of them in a straight line going up the side of this mountain. wondered what in the world they were doing, why were they there, and why were they in a line. We went over and checked, and it was a diversion ditch that took water out of Meadow Canyon and followed it around. There's a big reservoir that's bigger than this whole yard here. These cabins, the whole area, and a big wooden walkway, headgate area that used to irrigate Broad Hollow. And if there's a second reservoir there in play, then after 30 years, I'm still
above it.
Yeah, no, I don't know which one
it's
you saw.
It's just to the south of it.
But I think it's just to the south of it.
It has to be the south
of it. One right after.
But it sits higher on the hill.
That's, we went to that.
Yeah.
I mean, we were amazed. And, I have flown in here how many times. I guess we must have been gawking at the road, the Brent's top of his cabin or something. I don't know what we were doing. We didn't notice until you missed it, and then we saw it.
Val filled it with water one time. And we talked this spring where there's been lots of water running. We could put a, without a lot of expense, we could put a 10-inch PVC pipe out the bottom of the canyon and have it full of water up there today. So there's a lot of simple things that can be done.
He just couldn't get equipment through the mud to get there when it was...
That's why we figured it out.
We, well, that's why we've got the llamas out here. They're to carry that PVC pipe.
Hey, I'm the union rep for those llamas.
Oh.
Dale?
Yes.
I would try to focus what we've been talking about then. I feel there's, you know, the conservative side of me says, let's take the 20,000 and take 5 and put it in a contingency fund. Take the other 15 and my idea is take then look at the two major items, barn and roads. Roads being probably a priority in my mind.
That barn's a liability issue, so we got to deal
with it. We either need to take the barn down or but I, in its present condition, my own idea is, I haven't walked over there. I saw Dale over there, and we should let him shed some light on it. But I love it. I love seeing it, but I don't know that it's savable.
I can shed a little light on it. I was over here the other day with Kevin, and the wind was blowing a little bit, and we got out from underneath it in a hurry because it was creaking and moving. And that one, there's two poles out there. I think Val had a suggestion.
Val's got a report on it.
Yeah, okay. I'll let him do it then.
I've got a engineer's drawing here on a 3x5 card.
Dad?
I've lost it.
That'll be a restaurant.
Start talking while it's here.
You know, the storage unit, we need storage unit.
Basically, what I looked and compared to what it looked 20 years ago when I spend a few days working on it, and it's really not deteriorated much. This one column on the northeast corner is broken, but I thought that if that was pulled up, and there's probably two others that needs to be lifted and put a new foundation under it, that the barn could be salvaged. This column on this corner that's closest to us is an 8x8 wooden beam, and I think we could leave it in place and secure around it a U-shaped
channel iron.
Would form take some plate and form it so it would fit that column, and then punch holes in the thing going up, and then we could punch holes in the wood and put a big washer on the backside, big heavy plate washer, and actually draw it back up into the saddle of that U-shaped beam, and save that. It's the what we're got pictured here is steel, and it had cost about $250 for this beam, and I think probably another $250 by the time we get it up and bolts and clamped in place and so forth. So if we could spend $500 on that column and then maybe $500 or less, depending on cost of backhoe or labor, what to with the transit, find those places on the column and then bring everything up to the same level again. That's basically what I did 20 years ago. And there's been a little movement there, but not a lot.
Since you looked at it 2 days ago, two of the cross beams snapped out.
Oh boy. We may be too late getting this online.
Well, I got a question for you. What would three of those storage units cost us, those 40-foot jobs you have? Because we're looking at repairing this thing, and then 10 years from now, we're going to be right back in the same boat. You know, it's still going to be a...
There's no roof on it.
Yeah, we're going to be right back in the same boat again. What would three of those storage units cost?
They're about... $3,000 to $3,500 each.
Are they that much?
Has anybody gotten an idea or a cost on if that had a new green metal roof on it? I don't know the cost.
We had a Brent Ralph gave an estimate about 4 or 5 years ago to put a new roof on. But I was on the board that time, and I kind of shot it down because why put a new roof on it when the foundation is
going to fall down?
I mean, you got to start.
That's what I'm wondering about, having somebody look at it or to decide what does it take to shore up the columns and what does it cost for a roof and what does it cost to level it off and put either a concrete floor in it or a cinder floor that we could actually hold meetings and cookouts, whatever, you know, use it for people here at the ranch. The workmanship of all that work inside there is marvelous. It's just old and maybe rotten.
It's like bathroom, but you got to start at the bottom and
yeah.
Work up, but not from the top.
Could it be a gathering place? I was in there today, and man, you could put 150 people in there and square dance or do whatever you're going to do if that's a choice or a way of moving on
and
the thing.
In wintertime, it could be used for storage.
Yes, yeah. So I'm just wondering if anybody has done that, or if we should do that.
Didn't we get a bid? I think it was before my time, but from Brent Robinson,
Robinson,
and it was
about. He didn't give us a bid to put cement in it, but he did give us a bid to shore it up and to.
No, it was just the roof.
No,
it was the whole thing.
At one time, he gave us a bid to redo the.
Replacing one beam. I actually got the bid.
No, I didn't.
I get you.
But it wasn't that like $6,000 or $8,000.
About $4,500.
We had one bid that was over $10,000.
Well, he gave us two bids. He gave us one just to do the roof, and then he gave us one to do some beams and stuff.
Of course, the roof and is going out of sight now.
Well, Brent has some. He found some cheaper roofing that we'd have to do.
Yeah, but you're saying what would make a cow for people coming on the ranch? I mean, that's a fixture that is quite neat, and the rustic value of what we're trying to have people come to the ranch up to see. So. I like your idea about doing something either within a budget or a dough.
Could you fax to us the bid that you got before that would give us?
Yeah, I'm sure you won't honor it now because it's been.
No,
like
no,
said,
but
like,
give us that much guidance on the thing, and if Brent's got some idea on some less expensive roofing.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah, I can find it.
in the meantime,
another building will disappear in Colorado City.
Stay away from my house.
It moves a little every day. When the wind blows, it moves a little every day.
Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of time.
No, there's not a whole lot of time.
Brent and I was in moving all the pipe out just in case, and a bolt snapped in half. While we were inside, we ran.
Well, if we ever have an east wind, that barn is gone.
Yeah, well, it's done.
I'd just say from the practical standpoint of things, I hate to be pessimistic about the whole thing, but I bet you before we get the bid or get somebody actually on it, I bet you the thing blows down.
Unless you do like browsing, go in there real quick and do
Right, sure.
Real quick would be like maybe today or tomorrow, but
like fast.
I mean, I'd love to see it stay. I like looking at it. But
you can find a stock somewhere.
The old barn has taken a lot of wind over the last 100 years, and my guess is that we've got plenty of time to, but you know, let's not dilly dally. And
the boards are popping off of it. So
I was up and saw them.
Well, somebody else has to get the 12 bells of hay out because I refuse to go back in there as it is. I live here.
We're not going to worry about 12 bells of hay.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, if I don't worry about 12 bells of hay, I can't feed the animals here.
Yeah. Well,
we'll have to go buy some, and if you don't want to go in there.
The barn isn't going to fall. And and the boards, I'd like to see them turned over so all those nails weren't sticking up for kids' feet. Yeah. So I turned them over. So
well, for one, Dale, you don't want any kids up there.
I had 12 horses, or 11 horses in that barn last night. You don't think that wasn't fun getting horses up? Who wants to pay for 11 horses that don't belong to the ranch? I'm not saying
are they
barn down, but I'm very concerned about it.
So what do we need to do to fence it off?
That's well, I put caution tape around it, but the wind just blows the caution tape off. I don't know what.
I've been telling people to leave their kids away, you know, to make sure that their kids stay away from it. But I'm sorry, parents don't watch their kids anymore.
I mean, I got some old rusty fence posts.
Can we put something around?
We can go grab some of my fence posts and any wire we can. I think I've got some wire too. Temporarily, we could. We should
do that.
We need to keep the horses out.
But again, it won't keep them out.
It won't keep the kids out.
But what about the horses, though?
Because I think the signs and stuff doesn't keep them out.
No.
We put wire. We put wire on most of it.
You don't have any chickens? Fence something to.
How are the horses getting in there? I guess that's my question.
People don't close the gates when they come in and out.
Yeah, they leave the gates open at night, and that's when the horses come in. They come in through the front gate.
So if the horses are going in there at night, that's not a good deal, Taylor. I think we need to do something, maybe have a day project today and we get a fence up.
Yeah.
I'd make a motion that we have Val check into the availability of those steel posts now so that we can at least shore up at least a couple of poles.
I talked to Theobald yesterday, the general manager and foreman, and they gave me a cost estimate, and it would probably take a week to 10 days to get the beam fabricated. If we think we got to have it in an urgent rush, why, we may pay a little more and get that beam quicker.
Could we also take some 3/16 cable or 1/4 inch cable and do some cross loop turnbuckles and keep it from moving?
And sure, that's been done before, and there needs to be. I think that the answer is yes.
Once we get it shored up.
Probably heavier than 1/4 cable. Probably ought to be at least 5/16 or 3/8.
I've got.
Okay. Yes.
If y'all bring me a drawing of what you want on that beam and get me the material, I'll build the beam for you.
It takes a 10-foot heavy brake to bend this 5/16 plate. Do you have the brake?
Well, can't you just get the pieces and weld them? I mean, all you need is the plate and weld the plate.
Yep, that can be done too. It costs more to weld it than it does to break it.
Well, if you're paying somebody else to do it, I'll do it for free.
Yep.
How long did they say this piece needed to be? 10 foot?
The length
is
18 feet.
18 feet. I got another question here, too, is if you redo the barn, are you going to want to keep the metal in the barn?
What does it mean, keep the metal in the barn?
Is this a quick fix, or is it going to be the permanent fix, too?
I think it would be the permanent thing. You would just leave it rusty, and it looks like it's been there for a while.
If it was something you're going to take out later, maybe you got to look at some other way of shoring it up.
You could get a I-beam, Y-flange I-beam, that would be 8 inches on the inside. And it would cost a little more than bent plate, but it would probably be quicker to get that. it wouldn't wrap around the column. Half of it would, and then the other half would be coming back towards us. I think it would still work, maybe even better.
Could we, for the sake of expediting it, have him do it? Could you purchase the stuff, or you know, weld it, and we'll reimburse you for the price of it, or give you some money now? Or
yeah, well, you don't have to give me any money. I mean, I'm just trying to help.
But I mean, actually getting the metal and getting it done.
Yeah, I can do all that.
Okay.
What if you used two 8-inch angle iron so that they're independent as you put them on there? No welding, no anything. It's just a manufactured 8-inch I-beam. That would, or not I-beam, but angle iron.
I don't know if you can buy 8-inch angle iron. I don't think it's very heavy.
I don't think you want 8-inch. If you had two fours, they would come together on this face of that.
Four by what?
4x4.
Quarter inch?
No, I'd say 5/16 or 3/8.
About how much does that cost, Joe? Do you know?
I don't know. Steel's pretty expensive right now. I mean, it's enough to make.
I think you could get the angle iron and a base plate for $250.
What kind of plate?
Just
How much plate do you need?
Just enough to set on the railroad tie. Yeah, that'd be fine. So we got two 20-foot pieces of 4-inch angle iron.
4x4x5.
Yep.
I'll order it Monday morning.
Is the board?
We got a motion here.
Make okay, Lee. Restate your motion.
Well. Now, after listening to the gentleman over there, it's going to change a little bit. But, I mean, I would say let's go ahead. I make a motion that we go ahead and allow him to procure the iron and to get on with the job now.
I'd second that.
Moved and seconded that Mr. Wood be authorized to take care of the corner of the barn. And we'll cover the cost. And that... budget.
Well, all it's going to cost you is material. I'm not going
to... Kind of error.
I'm not trying to make no money.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Nay.
Now we need to work out some details on exactly how to get it installed.
And we have to, you know, it'll be more than a one-man deal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going to have to get them angle irons. You know, I'm not even sure exactly what you're talking about, but if you're talking about the cap... on the post, is that what you're talking about?
The pillar.
Oh, a pillar?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You go look at it, I think you can see all this is where we put the angle.
Yeah, so
why don't you do that? Let's move on with our agenda.
Let me just one last thing. If you feel it's necessary, I've got this, and I don't know if we have a post driver.
Yes.
Do we have a post driver? If Kevin could come up to my place, I've got a lot of older barbed wire. Yeah, I've got enough.
There's some old net wire.
Got some wire. I've got enough old net posts.
I brought some net wire stuff over here this spring.
So. He wants to come up and get the fence posts, and we could set up. Yeah, today. Yeah. And we could all, those who want to, put those fence posts in and string a couple strands of wire and keep the horses and things out of it.
Then we can put that plastic tape around the wire.
There you go.
We'll
that works.
That works.
Thank you.
I'm just worried about kids, so thanks.
Okay.
And the horses. Yeah.
Did we make enough decision on the potential use of the lot funding? Did we vote on a motion for that $8,000, $7,000, or did we?
We did vote on that motion to do that, but it leaves us about $20,000, I figure, yeah. Dale. And so I'm going to make a motion.
There's a net of about $20,000.
Yeah, a net of $20,000. My motion would be that we set aside $5,000 as in a contingency fund, that we don't spend it at all right now, unless we have another unforeseen thing. We take the $15,000, and that we hold off until we get an estimate back and decide on what it will cost us to restore the barn, since it looks like we're going to save it. and we take that $15,000, but we put at least another $5,000 into the road maintenance, and not maintenance, but new road graveling.
Okay, well, I've got a motion here, that Art seconded in, that you all voted in favor of. It said that you were going to use up to $7,000 out of the sale of the lot to balance and shore up the original budget, and then you were going to make a priority list with the remaining.
That's what we're doing right now.
Funds. So are you adding to that same motion? That's what I'm saying.
No, no, this is a separate motion. My motion is that we make roads priority, and that we make a $5,000 contingency fund, that we seriously try to restore the barn. And so roughly we're leaving about $10,000 towards the barn project. So five for roads, five for savings, 10 for the barn. That's my.
I would not put $10,000 on the barn.
Well,
you have water. You have, you know, we have a lot of places we can use a few extra dollars right now.
Well, I think
I don't have that much anyway
because
I only sold it for
26. Got 19 minus five minus the. No, there's not that much money there.
All right then.
Just leave. Yeah.
Candy made a good point a while ago though. The last time we polled the members, they want to keep that barn.
That's right.
Now, that's the last word we got from the general membership, so
well, let's hold off until we
do.
Get the figure on the barn. I'll table my motion and make a motion that we...
Let's stabilize it right now.
I think we should spend maybe up to $2,000 to $2,500 to do what we need to now to save it in this crisis, and then we need to make a plan over the next 6 months to a year to improve it and use it. There's no reason to save it if it's just going to sit there like it has for the last 15, 20 years.
We either do it or let's let it fall down. And
let's secure it right now and then make a plan. I personally wouldn't want to see a green or red metal roof on there. Let's replace a wood roof so it's the same barn.
And it's got to be rust on. It's got to be the same kind of match. And there's some down there at Jet McElpine's I want to buy. The old one right there on the side of the road that doesn't have a roof on it, right by his metal corral. It matches this wood perfectly.
Probably get the wood from him.
Well, even the wood, we could have Mac Roundy cut us brand new wood, put it on there, and a week later it would look just like that.
Okay, whatever.
Okay, let's move on. And
so did you want to put a dollar figure on the barn? Or
no.
I don't think so.
That's how we get the bids, I guess.
Okay.
Well, I guess my push is I'd really like to see us spend some more money on graveling roads. We've
That's
done.
Because you drove down in the mud this morning.
That's right. I'm motivated.
You know how much money we have.
I'll tell you what, we're lucky to get here.
I know how much we spent, and you know, we've got Metal Canyon and Broad Hollow. We put a lot of, and I would really think it's time to go.
We just spent almost $6,000 in slides.
Yeah, so let's go to Crawford, boys.
I look
a little bit.
$6,000 in slides.
It's still up to you, Nick and Bud.
All the culverts.
Well, we're going to put that cinders on some of it.
Up to lot 74, it's terribly treacherous.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to drive up there, though.
We're not supposed to be going up anywhere.
Now he and I are in the same camp on this one, aren't they?
Roads make strange bedfellows.
Enough hours on them.
There was a letter from Brent about the board covering any damage done on the road by the motorcycle race.
I have no problem with them running their motorcycles through my property, with the exception of this. I spent $3,000 of my own money fixing that road and Broad Hollow. And if the race is held on the 24th of September, and if winter hits like it did last year with a vengeance in November, I want that road restored to pre-race conditions before winter hits. And, you know, I've raced motorcycles. I've watched plenty of motorcycle races. I can tell you right now that they're going to tear my road up. And once again, I don't mind, but I want it fixed. And I want it. And so we got to be prepared to get that thing done in a hurry after the race.
Isn't that part of the contract with the racing people that they they don't have to restore anything?
Well, that's well, they pay $3,500
is enough to do that. Okay.
I think
it's too late to cancel it.
And I would like to add on near the airport because I just spent 6 hours of grading time getting the airport strip graded.
I think we just need a motion.
I think we could entertain a motion to honor Brent's request.
I'll second it.
Could I add,
I'll make the motion.
Could I add on to the airstrip too?
Are they going to run down the airstrip?
I don't think they're going to, but they're going to all be parked on the airstrip.
They stage on the airstrip. Like,
well, we need to make sure they're not on the airstrip.
No, that's where they camp.
That's where they
camp. Camping?
That's yeah. Where they
I meant with the motorcycles.
No, they
have to drive the motorcycles up and down. That's where they have the bike.
They don't have to race up and down.
I would just like to have the airstrip. Since I just spent 6 hours grading the airstrip, I'd like to have
go through with this.
The airstrip.
Didn't they require them? But each year they've had a little strip off the airstrip, out in the brush, back and forth, where they jet and run.
In fact, it says right in the thing that they won't do that, that they won't tear up anything that isn't already.
Because it left quite a track when they tried doing that the last
time. But they are going to go up and down on one end, take the whole thing, they camp on one end, and they use the other end to run up and down a little bit.
Side of the end.
But
last time their vehicles were on the airstrip, their bikes run
up and down the
off and down off the airstrip.
They weren't very far.
I was going to bring the photos. It's quite impressive to see 50 or 60 expensive RVs and stuff, the full length of the runway. So it's a fun activity. The two times they've been here, there wasn't hardly any repair that needed to be done when they finished. They crossed our roads. They went on our roads in some areas. And they, as far as I know, there was not a complaint.
Well, the problem is that, no, not the problem. The fact is that when they did it before, the road wasn't graveled where they crossed it. And now we do have gravel on it. So all we had to do before was just take a blade and just bladed it out, you know. It was fine. Because you know how bikes turn and it makes a berm, you know. But Grader took care of that and nothing, you know, no big deal. Brent's concern is they're going to knock the gravel right off his road, and they will.
Do they run the full length of that road, or they cross it? What's the track?
They're going to run up the full length of that road.
Drop over into
gravel. On top of the BLM flat spot there, next to my place, down this little trail that is...
that they use.
It's the same place they went last time.
We're locked into this.
Now that I don't care about. I can get down there to my well no matter what.
We just got
to
do it.
But I do care about my gravel road.
Yeah.
There's a motion and a second to honor your letter and see that.
I did.
Larry made the motion. Art seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Adding the airport in there.
Yes.
Aye.
Well, I think it's a matter of any of the damage. If we damage the county road out here, we need to
fix it.
So I think that it's all inclusive. Whatever damage we identify.
The only urgency is the airstrip.
And
can be done when it needs to be done, but Brent's
needs to be done.
He's worried about it being torn up.
I think the airstrip needs to be done right afterwards too.
Yeah.
Emergency situations too.
Okay, so. All in favor, say aye.
Yeah.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We've already talked about the status of the barn that's taken care of. The last item on the agenda was legal documents, bylaws, and articles. Committees have worked on these some during the last year. Ken Lent has retyped some of the changes that some can read and evaluate. I hope the $5,000 contingency that Phil mentioned doesn't all go to legal fees to do our bylaws and stuff.
We're getting close to the annual meeting.
I did include in there what I found on the internet that it's not supposed to be part of the bylaws. It's just there for your information. That rule of judgment that we talked about. I pulled up a section out of on the internet and I copied it down. That pretty well explains what the business judgment rule is. Okay.
Uh-huh. Good.
So you can look at that.
Very interested in reading it. And going through it,
that's the one we were all questioning and not really understanding in St. George.
What it was, and even the lawyer I talked to wouldn't give me an answer on it. But I did find something on the internet that makes it a lot more clear.
Yeah.
Question.
Can we come to any kind of decision by the time the annual meeting comes up, or are we still waiting till the end of the year?
No. We were supposed to wait till the end of last year, but
Then
we've moved it forward. So that's my point exactly, is that when we send out our legal notice this year of the annual meeting, which you want to do by when, Barbara?
I think it was July 15th, isn't it?
July 15th. Okay, we're the 24th of June.
Mm-hmm. Less than a month.
We need to have this ready to
send. I'm not sure it's ready to send out right now.
You what?
I'm not sure it's ready to send out right now.
Then we need to meet and get it ready.
So
I'm sure it isn't.
Okay. That's my point.
Well, when we send this notice out to the members, July 15th, when are we going to have nominations for
when are we going
to
do
that? Board?
Well, that's what we send out to notify them.
Right. Okay.
Well, actually, yeah,
we got to get busy and start nominating people.
So that's part of my other thing on the agenda that I put there is we need to clarify right now when do we have to send out notice and when do nominations for the board should be in. We got to start preparing for this meeting in September.
You almost have to start backwards. When the meeting is in, what date did we set?
September
24th.
Yeah.
24th. So. Same as the bike.
Right? No, it's the week before that.
Yeah, it's the 17th.
17th,
yeah.
September 17th.
September 17th?
Yeah, the race is on the 24th.
Well, they have to be about that before August 17th.
We have to give them 30, up to 30 to 60 days, isn't it?
30 days.
So that's August.
About 30 days from now.
So August 17th.
Needs to be in their hands.
I could give you a big kiss.
Hey,
do you hear me?
Wow.
I could give you a big kiss.
Barbara asked me for a sign to hang in that entryway.
Oh.
Cool.
Actually, Kevin and Gladys asked for the sign.
She did earlier.
That looks great.
What a job.
And just for Barbara. Dear?
Hey, I didn't misspell it. I don't know if those guys did that.
And that is the reflective tape.
They turn around the other way out.
Yeah.
It took me more time to put the tape on than to make the dang sign.
That's looking good. Thank you. God,
awesome.
That's
great.
So that's
awesome.
That's probably for after the meeting, hanging it.
Yeah.
And one other thing about spending this money, you guys obviously know how to spend money. I spend 75% on wine, women, and song. The rest I just blow. I say we blow this money.
Joe, that looks great.
And then to talk about the newsletter, seeing it existed.
Val, our hard work's finally going to do something.
Well, you know, a lot of people drive in and they say, well, we didn't see the sign out front. And I said, we got to do something. I mean, you know, people are driving up here. They don't
That's
have a clue
cool.
where
That's
the
good
news
stuff.
Is.
Yep.
So,
wonderful. Thank you again.
That was great.
Thanks.
Appreciate that.
I need to make a public apology. When I dismissed the meeting at the bank, our last meeting, I made my notes that it's June 11th at 10 a.m., and then we decided to change it to the 25th, and I left it at 10 a.m.
Yeah, me too. I thought
I was on time. You guys was early. Who changed it?
Cover yourself, will you?
Did I say like an apology to you?
Yeah, really.
See, he told me last night it was going to be at 10 o'clock.
We all converted
to Brett Coleman.
You should have done that, too.
I set the time, and Lee, I talked to you yesterday morning. I told
me.
You did.
You
didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't know. And then Lee called me and said, what's wrong? And I said, you didn't know.
You know why I lost you?
Why?
Lightning.
Oh, my God.
You can hang it right from here.
Tree and I gave up on the phone.
Wow,
that's
good. Now, is this going to be on the metal frame out on the county road?
That's what I'm waiting for, yeah.
Yeah.
All you got to do is drill a hole in the metal frame, hang this, and the rest will hang automatically.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, we need to go back to item number 2.
When can you get that hung up?
To item number...
Well, we haven't finished the mailing.
I can't work on the ladder. I don't know.
Barbara, we haven't finished the mailing stuff.
No.
If you have to have... If the members have to have this by August 17th, when do you need to mail it by?
No, we just need to mail it by August 17th.
That's the postmark.
It's supposed to be 30 days before the meeting.
Okay, so when do you have to have it prepared so you know what to mail out?
Well, we need to send out a notice for nominations, first thing, so that people can send in their nominations. And we were going to maybe we can coordinate that with the newsletter. That's what I was just trying to say.
if we're going to do this, the county, you know, I don't know what county's got prepared or whatever, but
I just got the letter from you that he had written, which sounded good, but there were no specifics. Like, we were going to talk about horseback riding and different kinds of programs. Nothing had been come to me with any information. So,
okay, Dale was going to call you, but you've all
also,
been calling around here. I don't
also
know what
the
happened,
cabin.
Anyway, we'll just figure it. Can we send it out? I'm saying, can we do a newsletter and send out the things that everybody submit their nominations by a certain date all together, one thing?
Sure.
Save postage and just get it all done and, you know, and tell them about the annual meeting.
I don't know that there's much more to go in the newsletter that would be exciting.
Well, how about our cabin pool? We want to make
well, that's
that.
That's another thing. We were going to put that in there, Dale. We wanted to mention that if we want to get that going.
We ought to try to come up with something before the 17th.
Sure
in case you damage it, this patch material. Thanks for the confidence.
When you screw it up. Not if, when.
There's one of us going to go over there with him. I'm going to go look at that barn. I'm going to run over with him.
Why?
He might need her.
Oh, yeah, that's it. They'll be okay.
Yeah, you guys enough. You think so?
Yeah.
Candy, are you going to be here in the area for a day or two? Or? So, would you like to get together and talk about the newsletter?
Oh, cool, man.
Would you like a jacket, Larry?
Oh, I'm okay.
Do,
it actually helps him, you know, stay in fit and trim and keep your
meeting today.
I've got time.
We could look at the newsletter at that time.
Listen, I like what you wrote. It looked good. I just didn't know if there were specifics that you wanted included in there, such as the horseback riding.
Whatever you'd like would be good with me.
Okay. I second that. So I'm saying, half hour after the meeting, it comes through.
Here's some more copies of where we're at on.
Oh, great. Kenneth, give them more copies of this.
I'd like to suggest that we have a date by which we have another separate meeting altogether where we look at this rough draft and make our final suggestions for the next meeting. Because I feel like we've got to mail this out with this by August 17th if we're going to have a vote at the annual meeting, don't we?
Well, I think that we've got a...